Hi, everyone. This is The Podium, and I'm Dr. Kevin Sprouse. Our podcast originated as a resource for my practice, where I work with professional athletes and high-performing individuals from around the world. Today, it has become a forum for an even greater audience, and we welcome everyone as we discuss the principles of performance and then disseminate pertinent, actionable info with our patients in mind. One thing to note before we begin, the content of this podcast is not meant as medical advice. This is for general informational purposes only. Welcome to The Podium.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Podium. I am Patrick Morris and I am joined today by Dr. Kevin Sprouse.
Happy holidays, Patrick.
We are back. The holiday episode.
Yeah. Is it our third?
Third or fourth? I don't know. We've had a few seasons, a few years of everything. They all kind of run together.
They do. But no, it's good to be back. I've been on the road for a while, so we haven't had a new episode in a while. It's actually been like a month since I've been on a trip every week for a month, which is a lot. So it's good to be back. Good to be finally thinking about the holidays and settling in a bit and getting back to what is a tradition here at the podcast.
Yeah. It's always fun to go through some things that honestly I've purchased or used regularly that I'm like, I think other people would also enjoy this, since it's kind of the fun thing about the holidays is sharing that with other people.
Yeah. I totally agree. And so I think we're going to do it as we have in years past, where we go through, we'll kind of just go back and forth with some recommendations on some things that we have used and loved. And we'll break it down by cost category, going from free even up to really quite expensive for either that person you really like or for yourself. But I think it'll be a fun exercise to run through these things. Yeah, we were talking, I had a hard time. Well, I thought I was going to have a hard time not duplicating things from years past, but I've actually gone back and quickly looked at the show notes from the last couple of years at least, and looks like I didn't duplicate. So I'm pretty thrilled about that.
Yeah. I started thinking about my list, and this year I've kind of gotten back into playing golf a bit more. And I was like, don't just pigeonhole yourself and put a bunch of that on the list, because there's lots of little accessories that you have to buy. But it worked out. It kind of spiraled a little bit. And I think we got some good stuff to talk about.
Yeah, I think so. Well, let's kick it off. You want to start with the free stuff?
So I didn't know we were doing a free category. So I'll start that one, and then I'll think of something while you're talking.
I think last year we kind of did it on the fly too. But this year there were two, email newsletters that I wanted to throw out there. And to be really clear, I don't like email, full stop. Like, just, I don't like it. So the idea of getting more emails is really antithetical to what I would normally propose. But these two, I think, are really interesting. So the first one is called 1440, and there's probably more to it, to that, but it's a daily news update, and it is totally unbiased. There is nothing in it that skews one way or the other. It's very factual, to the point that even when they are reporting something that is rather inflammatory, it's striking how they're able to do it without infusing anything that is, weighted one way or the other. And so, especially now that it's we're coming up on an election year, I think it's really both important to get what is just black and white news, even if it's boring to receive it that way. And it's probably sanity preserving. So I would highly recommend looking at this and, either for yourself or for someone you love that you think needs to be kind of moved away from the edge.
That's a great one. And just as some background on Kevin's disdain for email, a lot of people deal with their email inbox in different ways. Kevin is one of the only people that I've seen that just deletes everything and likes to have a completely empty mailbox. And that's impressive to see, to try to do it, because I know a lot of us walk around with, I don't know, 311 emails sitting in our inbox all of the time, or thousands. But you get to the empty every day. So it's big to say that you're going to subscribe to something.
Yeah. And I do that. I mean, you're right. I've done that for years, but there's a tool that I use called Mail Butler, which maybe that can go on here, that allows you to snooze and move emails. So there's some that I don't delete, but if I'm not answering or dealing with it that day, I can move it to the next day or the weekend or whatever. So they're all managed by the end of the day, which might be a little OCD, but it's how I work, and it works for me.
It's great. I'll take this opportunity to say you can subscribe to the Morris Performance Coaching newsletter if you go through my website and want to catch up on hearing some things just from me. So that's a free one you can talk in.
How did I not even know that existed?
I don't do good marketing.
All right, I'm signing up for that one too. And then the other one that I subscribe to that is probably new within the last 6 months or so, and only pertinent for those of you who happen to be, well, I was going to say fathers. It's called The Daily Dad. The advice is really not, it's good for parents, I think, in general. But it is short, daily parenting advice, I guess. But really more, it's very high level. It's not, you need to do this with your kids. It's like a thought or a thing that you should be considering in parenting. So I'm a big fan of it. It's Ryan Holiday who does the stuff,
all the stoic,
the stoic stuff, which honestly, I'm not really into the stoic stuff. I mean, I get it. I get why people would be. And if you're listening and that's your thing, like I see that, but it's not mine. This is a kind of separate for that. And occasionally some of the stoicism stuff comes into it. And in that regard, a quick hit every now and then is pretty interesting. But yeah, I highly recommend as a father, if anyone is looking for a free daily meaningful parenting resource, this is one to look at.
No, a couple great free options. We'll move into the under 100 list now. Is that your next category?
Yeah, less than $100.
Less than $100. So I'll start off since you led off and you finished with The Daily Dad. Interestingly, I have some cleaning products on here because I think sometimes, you know, active have a lot of down jackets, sport fabrics and things like that. And there's a whole suite of like specialized detergents from a company called Nickwax that's going to be really helpful for keeping some of those things that, like, I didn't even know, like, when you could wash or should be washing it in that way. Like, you wash it normal, but it kind of gets some of the oils and things out of it. So I use their downwash, their tech wash, their stuff for, like, winter clothes. Re-waterproofing is something that's really great to extend the life of things. And you can kind of get, it's a nice gift pack sort of a deal to kind of give somebody this because it's something you don't think to buy, maybe, and something that you'll definitely use.
Yeah, that's cool. I wasn't familiar with that. I'm familiar with the company because I used to use their product on my hiking boots years ago to waterproof and then re-waterproof. So yeah, that's a good one. I'm going to have to check that out.
It's great. The downwash and things like that. Cause again, I wear your jacket every single day and you don't think I should wash this, but it's exposed to everything. So maybe that's too much info, but
I
wash them now.
My thought is I should wash this, but I'm probably not supposed to.
Exactly.
So cool. I will say I'm a little spoiled in that regard because, you know, every year I get a new down jacket from the EF team, which just happened. So I've got a spare one if anyone needs a down jacket. All right. So under $100, you mentioned golf. We've both started playing golf a bit more. And I've got a Groovit golf brush that hangs from my bag that I would highly recommend. It's like $25. It's a brush for your clubs and it's got a water reservoir and a little pump. So it kind of, you can, you know, if you're at a nice range, they've often got a bucket of water, a brush, you know, you finish hitting all your nine irons, you go over, wash the club off, put it in your bag. This is just something you can take to the range, to the course, whatever, keep your club clean. Really simple idea, but works well.
Yeah, and they're less abrasive than like the metal scrubbers, so it's a great tool.
Yeah,
sticking with the cleaning theme that we found ourselves on now.
Oh yeah,
I use these they're Silka Gear wipes, but you can get them and they're called Hirobel. It's Hirobel. Like if you just want to get them on Amazon, and essentially they're safe for carbon, so it's good for use on a bike. They have a stronger degreaser than what you would get from like a typical like single use cleaning wipe, like a Lysol wipe. And they have a gritty backside to them. So honestly, one of these will clean up your bike really well. I use them for chains. I use them on golf clubs. I clean like the outside of my grill with them. So it's just like a bit more of a rugged like Lysol wipe that has a little bit of a texture to it. And they are awesome, especially for cleaning chains and keeping your bike kind of cleaned up, especially when it's cold now. Like I'm not going to go outside and use water. So it's a good way to keep things clean.
I like that. Great company too.
Yeah.
Yeah. also in the under $100. I'm going to tell you about two here because they sit next to each other on my bedside table. One is an analog bedside clock, and there's like a million options for this, right? But I found a little one on Amazon by a company called Peakeep. It's like $10, and it is just, it's got two hands, a round face. It's got a backlight you can push. It's got an alarm. I don't use it. But the idea is this allows my phone to be somewhere else. And so even though this is a simple throwback, really unsexy thing, it is, to me, has been a really powerful thing to throw into my, evening routine. So that I think is huge. The other thing that sits next to it is just under $100. I think it's like 99. It is an air quality monitor by a company called Qingping, Qingping. It's their air monitor light, and it tells you, it monitors room temperature, humidity, various particulate matters. It's just a great way to ensure that the air quality where you sleep, where you're spending a third of your time, is acceptable. And it's got an app. You can, look at it day by day and see if it spiked. It also looks at your CO2 levels. So that's why I keep it right next to the bed, is because I want to see that those CO2 levels, as I sit there or lay there and sleep overnight, don't creep up too high, because that can impact sleep quality. And might indicate that you need to turn on a fan or do something like that. So, between those two things, I'm able to get some high-tech data on one end, but not have the phone sitting there. So it's a nice little combo.
No, that's great. I've been looking for an air quality monitor to keep in the bedroom so that I kind of know how things are doing, with the fan on, with the fan off, if I'm using the air purifier or not, if it's actually doing anything. So
yeah,
that's a good one to toss in there.
Which is a good point. So I've actually tried it with, we've got a molecule air purifier, which I've got no affiliation with, but we've got one, sits in the room, and it makes a fairly remarkable difference in air quality to have it on versus off. I checked it during a time where we had a lot of smoke from the Canadian wildfires this summer that was blowing down this way. And if I didn't turn it on, the numbers for particulate matter were through the roof. If I turned it on, they were almost back down to baseline. I mean, so close, it's probably inconsequential. So that gave me a lot of faith in the filter.
Yeah. So I think this may be a repeat from one of the last ones, but I still don't see a lot of them around, and it's still a great product that I use all the time. And that's the Rolga foam roller. Mm. So it's a different kind of shape than a usual foam roller. So you can kind of move it around a little bit and use it in different ways. And it's my favorite of all of the mobility devices and things that I've tried over the years. So I always like to suggest that one.
That's a great thing to give to a friend who's active, or buy for yourself. But I think people who are constantly doing any type of sport and training for it, they're always looking for recovery tools, recovery hacks to just improve how they feel after doing those things. Okay. Finally, in this category, we were sponsored by Perk this year on a couple of episodes. They're not sponsoring this one. So this is really an organic
pure recommendations. Yeah.
But I've really enjoyed their coffees, and the fact that they always are coming out with new, short-term runs of this or that, and getting someone a bag of coffee, a subscription to coffee, whatever, obviously high on our list. But the other thing that I considered was, especially, for a cyclist or a runner, if we talk cyclists though, it's such an integral part of the sport. Getting someone the ability, getting them a gift card to a really nice coffee shop where they can go on a coffee ride. And the reason I mention that is because I'm a big fan of what's called a coffee ride, which is basically an easy ride. You ride out to a coffee shop with friends, you sit, have a nice drink. Maybe you took, 30 minutes or an hour to get there. You go 30 minutes or an hour back. It's a very specific type of ride that in Europe you see done all the time. In the US, it's really uncommon because we tend to just hammer, 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 go, 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 and get home and go on to the next. And so I thought this was a way to kind of, one, encourage your cycling friends to drink good coffee, but also encourage them to have that ride once a week or once every couple weeks that is just, it's chill, it's friendly. It's a good recovery ride. So it's kind of two birds, one stone.
On that note, I had a couple things on here and it started to spiral a little bit about things not to buy because, you know, endurance athletes, you're very picky about certain things. So like I have shoes on here. You can't be like, oh, if they run, I'm going to get them a pair of running shoes. On the bike note of things, if you have, you know, somebody out there you're shopping for and they love riding bikes, maybe don't get them the like really kitschy, like bike shaped sign or like mug that says like ride bikes and this, that, and the other thing. Cause it's not really what you want. The coffee shop and like the gift card or like a bag of coffee or like the expendable things like that are going to be more useful, but it happens a lot of times that it's like, oh, I know X does this. And you kind of get like some sign that's like, I live to ride or whatever. And like that usually, at least for me, ends up not hung up.
Okay. Now I've got to take something back this year to the store. No, I think that's a great idea. And it even makes me think that next year, maybe we should do a whole episode on what not to buy in each category, but I don't know.
Yeah, it's tough. I know we're both, I mean, I'm a fairly picky person and most people, like if you're out riding, you're fairly picky about, oh, I need these arm warmers. I need these gloves. I need these shoes. I need these socks. So trying to like get a gift that fits that is very difficult.
Yeah.
So either and just a lot ask of it's them from, or don't do it.
It's really specific. Like you said, unless they've asked for it. In the same way, I'd say that probably holds for a lot of sports. You know, if you're really into your sport, you don't necessarily wanting somebody, you don't want somebody just guessing on what you might like. So well said. Should we move on to the next category I've got is $100 to $250.
All right. We'll go to the mid ticket items.
Yeah. So recently, I did a panel discussion with, Dr. Sherry Ma, who's been on the podcast before, sleep specialist from Stanford. And while we were up in New York doing this, she and I were talking and we got on the topic of pillows for athletes and how we both think it's pretty important that athletes travel with their own pillow for a number of reasons that we can get into. But I asked her, I was like, do you have any go-to pillows? And so she told me about this company called, I think it's called Coop, C-O-O-P. I mean, I guess it could be co-op, but it's not hyphenated, so I'm going to say Coop. And they make pillows out of shredded memory foam. And so it's kind of a nice intermediate between like a typical filling of down or whatever else that moves a bit as you lay down on it, or, you know, and that kind of solid memory foam that doesn't move but molds to you, sits right in the middle. And so I was like, huh, I'm kind of interested. So I ordered one of these pillows a couple weeks ago. I've had it maybe 10 days. And it comes with extra filling. So you can either take some out or put some in. I got one that is made out of a material that stays cool. And it actually feels cool to the touch all the time. I don't remember the name, but if you're looking around on the website, you'll see it. But it has been the best pillow I've had probably ever, definitely in a long time. And I would highly recommend it. I'm also a bit of a pillow snob when it comes to like, it's never right at a hotel. It's kind of a Goldilocks thing for me. So this pillow turned out to be ideal and it wasn't perfect when I got it. I had to actually take some of the foam out. And then when I found that ideal spot, it's been just fantastic. So highly recommend this one.
It's a good customizable one. I'll let you give us another one. I got a short list.
Okay. Another one I have on here is the NYX sodium sensor for our athletes. And this is one that it's a wearable sensor. It's a sticker that goes on your arm and then an electronic sensor that kind of plugs into it, kind of drop in and twist and it locks. And via Bluetooth, it sends sweat rate data and sweat composition data. So how much electrolyte is in your sweat? And you can see a profile through their app on the phone. costs about $130 for the sensor and 4 of the disposable patches. It is something that I think is a technology that is really useful for athletes, endurance athletes in particular. I will say I think there's some glitches in it still. I've seen online some reports and reviews of it not connecting and having no data. I haven't run into that yet. I've gotten pretty good data every time, but I recognize that it's a newer item. Those people that are having trouble, I can understand it. I haven't run into it though. And I think it's a really useful tool, especially for those people who tend to have very heavy sweat rates, think there may be a really salty sweater. They may or may not be. Think that their cramps are related to their sweating. May or may not be. It's a good tool to provide some objective data on which to have those conversations and make recommendations and changes in what you do. So it fills a niche and answers a problem that endurance athletes have, for which we really don't have another resource. So, and if you're an endurance athlete that's really into tech, it's kind of a fun piece that is new.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed kind of digging through the sensors and seeing where my levels are and how it is with my intake and kind of balancing that out, and as how it changes over a season as well.
Yeah.
So I've got one for the tall person in your life. I've recently gotten back to doing more yoga, and I have a very long yoga mat that I feel somewhat ridiculous unrolling at classes because it's, I don't know, I think it's like 82 inches, but it's fantastic for me because I'm 6'3", so I can actually lay down and extend my arms. My face isn't on the floor that's questionably clean or whatever it might be. And that's an awesome thing to look for. If you're like, oh, I'll get this person a yoga mat and they're like 6'1", they'd probably love to have the extra long version, cause it makes a big difference.
Well, so my wife has asked for a yoga mat and she wants a long one. She's not 6'1", but she's tall. Yeah. What brand did you get?
So I have the
Manduka. Oh, she's not listening.
Yeah. I have the Manduka extra long mat. And
is it thick or like really thin?
It's not super thin. It's a good, it's a really nice like balance. It's not too sticky. It's got, I really like the Manduka mats cause they're not as squishy. Like some of the Lulu mats and the other ones have a little bit more give to them.
Yeah.
This one's a little bit firmer and I really like it.
All right. I hope she's not listening cause that may go on the list. The other thing that I have in this category is for coffee nerds. There's a company called Passato. I think it's how you pronounce it. Passato 58.5, which is that's alluding to the size of the portafilter. They make portafilters, which is if you're not a coffee nerd, when you see the barista fill the device with coffee and it's got the handle on it and they lift that thing up and twist it into the espresso machine, that's the portafilter. And the quality of the coffee that comes out is very much related to how well made that basket is and that whole process. So they've got a really precision made basket filter and then a super nice handle that can be customized with different woods and metals and things like that. But they're really beautiful. All kinds of options for it. But if you've got a coffee nerd friend, that's something to look at for sure.
Yeah, that's a great gift. And if you want to dive deeper into strictly coffee gifts, I'll sprinkle this under the free one. But James Hoffman, the YouTube father of coffee, did like a really good gift guide that kind of walked you through, oh, what level of a coffee connoisseur are they as to what kind of gift that they should get? Cause I had a friend that just gave me like a new DWT tool and like a puck screen, and it can get out of hand very quickly as I've been explaining to people the last couple of days. But it is a nice little gift, especially like something like a DWT tool. That's pretty generic. If you know somebody has an espresso machine and that's what they do.
Yeah. And it can run the gamut of prices.
Yes.
Like the little one we have here, that tool is, it's a little handle with what looks like needles that come out of it. And it's just to kind of mix up and break up clumps. Like, you know, it's a pretty simple thing. The ones I got for us were, I don't know, $10 and made on a 3D printer. But you can get them again super nice with nice woods and metals and
Weber Workshops makes one that's like all gears in the top that you put on the, and then you twist it. It's like $500. So if you really love this person and they're big coffee snobs, anything from Weber Workshops, they're going to be like, oh wow. Cause they're kind of like the top dog in coffee accessories for cool. the boutique models.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right. Are we good to move on? I've got a $250 to $500 category and then some over $500.
My last, I had like kind of in the 100-ish range is pretty much anything from Vuori or this other company that I've really liked for golf things is this company Roback that's kind of like the Vuori products, but they've been like nice quarter zips, like good loungewear, and like their polos and things like that are great for out on the course. So I've enjoyed that.
Yeah. I'll second that. I haven't tried the Roback, but the Vuori stuff, I'm always happy to get it.
Top notch.
Yeah. All right, $250 to $500 bucks. The first one, I've got two things here. The first one I'll put in is the Wahoo kicker desk, the table that goes, like if you're riding your bike on a trainer and you want to have a table to either hold your computer or whatever. Mine holds, got water bottles on it. It's got two water bottle spots. It holds the remote controls for the Apple TV and the TV. Usually has my iPad if I decide to have that there for, cause I mean, often what I'll do is on the TV, I'm watching whatever I'm watching. And then on my iPad, I'll have Zwift or, I'll connect to the trainer's app and just put it in erg mode if that's what I'm doing. But then I've got a place for everything. My glasses are sitting there so I can see the TV if I want to do that. So having that desk is a really nice thing. I got it probably 2 years ago for Christmas, actually. But the Wahoo one is about $300. If you go on Amazon, you'll be presented with alternatives to it as you are when you put things in. And I swear it's the same things, probably, you know, fell off the truck in China or wherever they make it. And they're $150. So it could drop back into that other category, but if you don't have one, or if you've got somebody who's maybe setting up an indoor trainer set, like place to train, this is a huge improvement. It makes a huge improvement on just sitting on your bike.
Yeah, the trainer desk is great, and you can raise them up because they're adjustable, so you can pull it in closer if you're going to try to sit on your trainer and work for a little bit, or if you just want something that's a little closer. Because I was guilty of this. I used to have a little like coffee table stand that would sit in front of the front tire, and I'm reaching over the front of the bike trying to like change the controls on my iPad or something. And you just don't want that. You want the trainer setup to be as efficient as possible.
Yeah. And we've got a treadmill downstairs next to where I have the bike set up, so I can spin it around too and set it next to the treadmill and still have, you know, if I'm running on Zwift or if I want to have water bottle, towel, whatever. It's just a useful piece of kit for your gym.
Yeah. It's a great little tool.
Yeah.
I guess if we're going gym, we're in the 250 to 500 category.
Yeah.
So this would be maybe a bit of a strange gift, but it's something that I've purchased for myself that I've absolutely loved. And that is an open style trap bar. Specifically, I got the open style trap bar from Rep Fitness. I find that it hits there as a company. They hit kind of like in between like a Titan budget line and like a Rogue premium line. And this thing is just fantastic. You can flip it up to load the weights on the side and flip it down so that you're not like haggling with them to slide the weights on. The handles are really nice. It's a little bit wider than some trap bars that I'll feel kind of like claustrophobic inside of. And I've absolutely loved the open trap bar from Rep since I got it. So it's a great gift if somebody's out there that like loves lifting. It is gigantic. So if they do not have a lot of space, do not get them for them because it is cumbersome to move around, but I absolutely love it.
So I use a trap bar for deadlifts every week, but I don't know what an open trap bar is.
So most like trap bar, they're called like a hex bar. So they're hexagonal with their shape. The open one is a U-shaped. So you can do more things. Like I could do like reverse lunges with it. And then there's like a lot of other active like exercises you can do with rows and things like that because you're not inside of the hexagon. And then the bottom of the U are like two little stands. So you can flip the bar up on its side and then the weights are off the ground. So it's like a deadlift jack, which is another kind of like a cool little piece of tool. Honestly, like the company AbMat has lots of little gym accessories. So if you know somebody who's like a big home gym aficionado, just going on there and picking stuff out, like it's really well made things. They've partnered with a lot of like physical therapists and different things to just fit little niche needs that you need, like a heavy duty pad for glute bridges or like a pivot pad thing. Like there's a lot of good products there that help with the home gym. But if you want a bigger purchase, the trap bar is awesome.
Nice. I like that. I'll have to check it out. Last thing I have in this category is the Technivorm Mocha Master coffee machine. It is, have you seen one of these?
I have not.
Okay. So we got ours. We were trying to figure out this weekend how long we've had it. Probably 12 years ago. It is a Dutch machine that basically on one side heats the water. It doesn't boil up, but it, you know, moves up as it heats, goes across and then creates basically a pour over, into the filter, drops in. It keeps the water at the exact temperature it's supposed to be, which I can't remember what that is. But like very few coffee machines actually get that hot, like drip coffee machines. So it's one of the few that does that. It goes really quickly. So you can make 12, like a 12 cup carafe if you needed to in probably 5 minutes, you know, maybe less. Like it's super fast. And the coffee is just fantastic. It is high end. They run about $400, and incredibly simple. So like a great combination. And obviously it lasts a long time. I mean, ours, again, 12 years old. Now I broke it this weekend trying to clean it because I was starting to take it apart and realized it needed a good internal scrubbing. But I also realized I probably couldn't get it as clean as I wanted. So ordered a new one yesterday, but I ordered from their website. So again, you can get these years ago when I searched one out, it was hard to find. Now you can get them at Williams-Sonoma and places like they're pretty prevalent. And they're about $400, but I went to the Mocha Master website. They have refurbished models, which I got for $250. So it kind of makes it slide back down almost into that next category. But hands down, the best drip coffee maker I've ever used.
That's a good one. It's tough to find a good drip machine that's like worth it on like the higher end. Like you're either just going to get a really basic one or you're going to switch to like a really fancy piece of equipment.
Yeah.
So My one that kind of fits in this one is a bit of a strange one, but I finally bit the bullet and I got myself a like red light therapy box.
Yeah.
And there's some pretty good science on it.
Yeah, there is.
And I have to admit, I enjoy adding it to my morning routine, and it's something that I have now naturally been telling other people about. So it's a good one for kind of that weird health person in your life that probably does too much as far as their morning routine. But if they're on your list, there's a lot of different brands out there, so I can't necessarily endorse each one. I think you have one from Juve. Mine's from this brand called Huga Health. They're all swaying around in prices. The things to look for are that you're just getting both near infrared and far infrared lights, so visible and non-visible lights at like a, I think 650 and like 880 or mm-hmm. 680 and 880 as far as the spectrum. And then for me, I also wanted to get one that wasn't, that was like a low EMF if you're going to be close to it, because you do have to sit really close to the light to get some of the purported benefits that have been in research. So those are things to look for, but I've enjoyed it. I use it pretty much every day. So it's been a good addition to the routine.
Yeah, that's a good one. So the one I've got, it was given to me, but I've got it actually downstairs by the bike trainer, and I normally use it just in the winter, not for any reason except that I tend to be down there more in the winter, and I'll use it in the morning. So the first 12 minutes of my bike ride, I'm just getting hammered by red light. And I really like it as well. So yeah, good option.
All right, I guess we'll move on to the expensive ones that you've got on your list.
Let's go big. I've actually got four of these, which is
I don't have any above 500, so you can tell who the doctor is here.
Yeah, well, I'm looking at these, and I own three of them, and only one did I purchase. So here we go. But so if we go to the golf theme again, I recently started using the Garmin Approach R10 launch monitor. And for those who don't play golf, you won't be interested by this, but I'll explain. A launch monitor is basically a device that uses either radar and or cameras to give you all the objective statistical data for your shot and your swing. So it measures club speed and how far the ball goes and how it spins. But this one is unique in that at that price point, you still get measurements of club path and, you know, was the face open or closed, which typically you don't get that type of data until you get into the thousands or even tens of thousands of dollars. So it's a really nice unit. I mean, it gives you a lot of the data you would want to see for a relatively low price for these things. So I've been thrilled with it. I'm sure it's not as accurate as like a $24,000 TrackMan. But for my purposes, it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, we don't need all the detailed things, but that did make me think of a good gift on the golf side of things. Like if you know somebody who's really into golf, who's like you're looking for a gift for them, figure out where they live, which you should ideally know if they're your friend, and then find a nice course in that area and give them like a gift card to it. Like you can hop on whatever Golf Now or different things like that and find, oh, this is a high rated course. And like personally, I'm not a member anywhere. Typically play the home course Ruggles, very budget friendly. But every now and then you want to splurge and go to like a nicer place. And that'll kind of give whoever it is an opportunity to be like, oh, we're going to go play the fancy club because we got a gift card.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one. Another thing that is maybe one of the favorite things that I own is an 8Sleep. So 8Sleep makes, we've talked about Uhler in the past on one of these episodes, which I had previously and really liked. 8Sleep takes that concept of cooling the bed and kind of managing the bed temperature overnight to improve your sleep. And it takes it from what the Uhler has done and just really nails the implementation of it, in my opinion. So it's a really good tool for cooling or heating your bed, depending on what you like. And then it also has built into it metrics that monitor your sleep data, or you know, electronics that monitor your sleep data. And it'll give you the same things that like a Whoop or an Oura Ring would, in terms of sleep duration, staging, heart rate, heart variability, all that stuff. And you don't have to wear anything. It's just you lay on top of it and it gives you data. And I thought that part was going to be really crap, quite honestly. And it's been surprisingly good, and surprisingly correlates along with another, you know, wearable device I might use at the same time. So this is one that I think almost uniformly benefits anybody. Great gift. It's pricey. I think they make a mattress cover, which is around, I mean, it depends on the size of your bed, but $1,500-$1,800, or they make a mattress, which I think is probably closer to $3,000. But worth looking at. This is one that I could really see splurging for yourself for Christmas. But yeah, high on my list.
No, I need to optimize my sleep environment a little bit more. So it's on the list eventually.
Yeah. Am I still going here?
Yeah, still you.
All right. I've just got two more. So the other one is really niche for someone who's a very high level endurance athlete looking to really push beyond, where they are in terms of performance. And that's an altitude tent or an altitude room. So building out your bedroom to be able to adjust the altitude. And shockingly, yeah, it's expensive, but it's not nearly as expensive as I thought it would be. I haven't done this. I don't plan on it. I won't get any benefit from it.
I know your wife already doesn't like the Sleep 8 cover. You cannot turn your room into an altitude room.
This is true. Yeah, it would be a non-starter. And if I'm going to get faster, there's 100 things I can do besides altitude exposure. But for those people for whom this could really move the mark, Box Altitude makes a really nice tent that, it's actually a cube, a box that can go right over the top of your bed. If you look at their website, you can see it's fairly nice looking, gives you a decent amount of room in there. You know, there's, it could be a whole episode on how best to use these things, when you get benefit, when you don't, when it can be detrimental because it's a stress on the body. So it's not just a be all end all, like turn this thing on, you're good to go. It's a pretty sophisticated tool. But the tents are nice. And I think those are going to run, I don't know, call it $5,000 for a tent. You can actually have your room converted, any room you want, but you know, a bedroom makes sense because you can spend the most time in there. You can have your room converted for, you know, 10, 12, 15,000, depending on the size of the room. And again, for that very specific individual, probably someone who's trying to make a paycheck doing this, or who has made a lot of large paychecks and is looking to do the best they can in some endurance endeavor, this is something I think worth looking at and just kind of a fun toy.
Yeah, if we're going big, I'll throw this one out there. I would love like a 6-person barrel sauna for my backyard, like preferably made of cedar that I can like stand up and move around in. So if anybody's listening and is like, oh, wow, I'll roll with that one. Or if you, again, want to splurge on yourself or somebody in your family, that I think the barrel sauna over like an infrared indoor sauna, like the full traditional, get it up to like 160 plus outdoor barrel sauna, seems like the way to go.
Yeah. Oh, I agree entirely. That would be on my list too.
And it's Almost Heaven Saunas in West Virginia, which they win because Almost Heaven, the song, John Denver. And then I drive past it if we go up to snowshoe to ski. So I'm always just like, someday I'll just like swing by and pick up my sauna kit to take home.
I have the last few years going up to the UCI World Cup mountain bike race, drive right past there. In the last few years, I've threatened my oldest son that we're going to stop and I'm going to look around, but they're always closed when we drive by. So it hadn't happened
yet. But you listen to the song at least, right?
On repeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Country roads.
All right. And the last one that I have on the list for Christmas this year is a painting by Andreas Klier. So
he's going to love that.
I know. I'm going to have to let him know that he made the list. So Andreas was a pro cyclist. I was his team doctor when he was a rider. He's now a director sportif on the EF team, has been for a while. And he started painting a few years ago, call it 5-ish, and just like for fun, just started painting and was pretty prolific and quickly got better. And eventually started selling a few, and now has had a fairly large show at a gallery in, Palma in Mallorca where he lives, and, has been getting quite a lot of notice for his painting abilities. And you can look at his, I don't even know if he's got a website. He's got an Instagram account where he posts tons of, both photos and videos of his paintings. And you can see kind of what he's got going on there. Klier is K-L-I-E-R, Andreas Klier. Rafa last year did a video about him, like one of their movies that they have done about our team. And you can see, you know, where he paints. You can see his paintings. You can kind of hear the story. But I think they're just incredible paintings. He does really cool stuff. And who doesn't like to get a big painting thing they can put up in their living room or bedroom or whatever office? So this is top of my list. We do have one here in the office, which I love. It's the only cycling painting he's done hangs here in the office. And then I've got one at home as well. But highly recommend it. Of course, I'm a huge fan of Andreas as a person, known him for years. He's a good friend, but really impressed with his artwork. And it's not just me because I'm not an art critic, but those folks who are starting to really, really take to his paintings. So check them out. You might get just ahead of the curve and buy something that's a good investment.
Yeah. And if you're more on the budget side of an art collector, the way that I might be, getting out and getting gifts from all of like the local artisan markets that are definitely going on in whatever town that you're in. Like we have all kinds of holiday markets. Not all local stuff is good and it's may not suit your eye, but like going out and like walking through those markets, getting, you know, I had like a local ceramic, like your coffee mugs and things like that. Those little gifts that are from somebody, I think have a big impact and are kind of nice. And it's also good this time of year, you know, like people are out there trying to make their things and sell it. So like go around, get involved in like the local art community and support them. And then maybe there'll be somebody like a, like an Andreas that slowly takes off and you get ahead of the curve with it. Or maybe you just get something to hang on your wall that you really like. So
which is the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's something I've tried to do, or I am trying to do with Gift this year, even though I've not really shopped that much, is to just spend less time on Amazon, because I buy stuff from them all year. So for a month, maybe I'll try to go somewhere else.
Yeah, they'll do fine without our input.
Yeah, they'll be good.
Yeah. Cool. That's my list.
Yeah. I think that's a great shopping list. Some fun stuff on there. And some things to think about. I'm excited to go probably order the air monitor for myself after we get off of here.
Nice. Cool. All right. Well, happy holidays. Merry Christmas. And, hope you all enjoy the list and buying for yourself and more importantly for others.
Yeah. We'll be back soon.
Thanks for listening to The Podium. To hear more, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow us on Instagram, where I am at Dr. Kevin Sprouse. That's Dr. Kevin Sprouse. The podcast posts at the_podium_podcast. You can also find and follow me on Strava. The content of this podcast is meant for general informational and educational purposes only and does not constitute medical advice. No doctor-patient relationship is formed. All listeners should speak with their doctor or medical practitioner before implementing any change in their healthcare regimen. If you're currently a patient at Podium, then you have an established doctor-patient relationship with me, and I'm happy to discuss this with you. If you're not currently a patient at Podium, nothing in this recording establishes a doctor-patient relationship between us, nor does it constitute the practice of medicine nor the dissemination of medical advice. Should you implement any information contained herein without consulting your own physician, you do so at your own risk.
The Podium Podcast is part of the Palm Tree Podco network of podcasts. The show is produced and edited by Anthony Palmer. The content for this show is provided by the team at The Podium.